be so stern with you, but it seems I don't have a choice.
My sniff made his black eyes sharpen.
All I ask of you is politeness, obedience, and eventually your voice. Three things that won't hurt you or reduce you to something you're not.
I shivered at how easily he delivered his terms, how simple he made them sound when they were some of the hardest requests for me.
You do that, and I'll be able to keep my distance and treat you kindly. Don't, and you'll regret it.
You're hiding behind obscurity. Don't threaten with vagueness. Tell me what you'll do. Gritting my teeth, I popped the spoon into the soup and swirled it around. I had no intention of eating. My tongue was a constant reminder of what I'd almost lost by being brave. Elder had made it his mission to heal and cure me. But for what? It was the not knowing that burrowed like a mole through my mind, bringing dark tunnels of recklessness. Bravery no longer had anything to do with it. It was a matter of survival. My previous questions came chugging back on a steam train, railroading me with coal smoke and speed. What do you want? Tell me right now. Tell me you'll sell me, hurt me, use me. Tell me you'll free me. Tell me what you'll do if I disobey. Just tell me so I can decide if I want to fight you, obey you, or throw myself off the bow of your ship and end it once and for all. I wasn't aware my anger had overflown physically until the spoon shot from my fingers, splashing green goo all over the pristine table. My shoulders rolled as I hunched for a beating. It would be a good one. I'd never been allowed at the table for this exact reason. I wasn't worthy of human tools because I was too dim-witted and merely an animal to be used when it suited its owner. He called me an animal. Whatever attraction or pride I thought I'd seen in his gaze was gone now we'd finally been honest. Elder didn't move. The gentle rustle of his black T-shirt was the only noise as he breathed deep and evenly, never taking his eyes off me.
What were you thinking about to warrant wasting your food? Food, I may add, that should be in your stomach to replace everything you've lost from being with him.
I dared to look up, staring at the mess I'd made. I couldn't make myself care for what would come next. I couldn't bring myself to bow an apology or beg in forgiveness. The anger that I'd kept locked up so damn tight for years poured from the vault where I'd banished it. The foreign tightness, the strange daredevil baring its teeth inside me. It all embraced me as if to say, please never forget again. Never let yourself merely exist. Fight or die. No more surviving, no more accepting. My fingers dug into my palm as my fist squeezed. Even my broken hand did its best to curl with rage at how long I'd lived in hell and how much I hated myself for letting it continue. Why didn't I kill myself sooner? Why didn't I kill him sooner? Because he took every option away. He tried, remember? Time already clouded the past, making it seem like I had other options than the truth. It shattered me because it made me even weaker when I'd believed I'd been so strong. There was nothing you could do. But now it is different, and you will not bow to another. Not again. If Elder expected me to serve him, fuck him, and be at his beck and call, I would jump overboard tonight. Not because I had nothing left to give, but because I was finally brave enough to say no. Even if it meant saying no to any more tomorrows or yesterdays, no more. Elder murmured.
What's going on inside that mind of yours?
I snarled. He stiffened.
You look as if you want to go back and kill him all over again.
He cocked his head, inspecting my every inhale, exhale, and twitch.
Are you angry that I came back for you? Do you wish I hadn't, so you could have ended your life rather than face something new?
You don't know me. Get out of my damn head.
So that's what this is about. You're angry.
I wanted to tear out his eyes at how condescending he made it sound. I was more than just angry. I was rage itself. I was the harbinger of vehemence. You think you can scare and belittle me? Wrong. I'm done with these parlor tricks. He smiled coldly, no kindness left in his face.
Anger is expected after what you've lived through.
He leaned forward, whip sharp and brutal.
But if you think for one fucking moment you can take it out on me, you'll be severely disappointed.
My chest rose and fell as I breathed harder than I had in years. My bruised ribs bleated with agony.
If I didn't recognize that fire in your gaze, I would think you missed that godforsaken hellhole.
I froze. You think I like being beaten? You think I enjoyed being a slave? Elder pushed his fork with his index finger, sedate and sly.
You knew the rules there. You knew everything there was to know about the bastard who called himself master. You knew what to expect and when.
His black eyes locked with me against the hard chair.
You miss predictability, even if that predictability would have killed you, either by his hand or yours.
Silence fell, littered with secrets. He didn't speak for a few seconds. Running his hand through his thick blue-black hair, he whispered,
"You pulled the trigger. I watched you take his life happily. You threw off those invisible chains even while you bled out from the wound he inflicted."
His voice dropped to a murmur.
"But that wasn't the moment you ended predictability, Pimlico. You did that before becoming a murderer."
I sucked in a breath as he stroked his lips with feather-soft fingers.
"You did that the moment you kissed me back."
My tongue twinged as I swallowed hard.
"You changed your future the moment you let me into your bed."
"I didn't let you. I had no choice." Licking his bottom lip, Elder smiled coldly.
"I feel you trying to read me, Silent Mouse. I feel you probing me, watching me. Don't think I don't. You want... No, you need to know what I'm going to do to you. Your questions are so fucking loud, they're making me deaf."
Standing, he pushed away from the table and paced, looking between me and the spilled soup.
"But you won't learn who I am until you give me what I want in return."
Determination suddenly etched his face as he stalked toward a sideboard holding a massive candelabra with 8 tapered candles and wrenched open a drawer. 2 seconds later, he slammed down a matching notepad and pen. Pushing aside my bowl, he stabbed his fingers at the fresh paper.
"Speak to me."
I cringed but didn't hunch. I couldn't keep track of my thoughts. Yesterday, I drowned in gratefulness for what he'd done for me. Today, I suffocated in suspicion of his true agenda, and anger, so much anger. Rage licked me faster and faster, turning my thoughts to ash.
"Talk to me, Pimlico. That's the least you owe me for what I've done for you."
"Done for me? What are you going to do to me? Let's talk about that." My fingers itched for the pen, but not to speak to him, to speak to no one. To ask my unknown unseen friend what I should make of this new prison and master. Should I run? Should I kill? Should I do neither and submit instead? The longer Elder kept me wrapped in safety, building my debt to him with every breath, the more I spiraled out of control. I'd lived with such fierce, unbreakable boundaries for too long. I knew how to survive Auric. I knew how to read him. I knew how to prepare for punishment. And I knew how to glue back my shattered pieces afterward. That was it. I didn't know how to endure anyone else. And why should I have to persevere with another? I didn't know how to be Pimlico in this new world. I had no idea who I'd end up becoming. How could I be something Elder wanted when I had no idea what that was? Then don't be Pim. Be someone else. But who? I needed to become someone who could outlast, outsmart Elder Prest. But I don't know who he is. Trembling began again, swift and severe. My body betrayed me as more and more confusion plated with anger. I hated that I had a physical reaction to Elder as he loomed over me, his hot breath fluttering my eyelashes, his demands crushing me.
"Write what it is you want."
He took the pen, ripped the lid off, and grabbed my hand. I didn't flinch as he inserted the cool plastic between my fingers, making me grip it.
"Write what you're thinking. Write one fucking word, and that will be good enough for now."
He stepped back. I held the pen, but I didn't attempt to obey. Words flew from my head, spelling no longer part of my education. The trembling grew and grew until my teeth chattered and bumped against my swollen tongue. The unfinished panic attack howled with fresh freedom. I flinched as pain hit from the sharp incisors, followed by the faint taste of blood.
"Christ,"
Elder hissed.
"I'm not going to hurt you. How many times do I need to tell you that?"
"That's a lie. You just admitted it." I threw the pen down, steeling myself to look up at him. My teeth clamped again on my swollen tongue by accident. My gag reflex reacted, as another wash of metallic made me grimace. A small trickle of blood escaped my cracked lips, staining my chin and splashing an accusation on the notepad. He inhaled sharply, staring at the bright red droplet. He wanted a reply. He'd earned a reply. In blood.
"Stand,"
he barked. I obeyed, pushing my chair back a little. Having his wrath finally unleashed was not comforting but known. This is what I'm used to. I could handle his anger because I could predict what came next and could turn my mind off. Self-preservation kicked in and soon I'd be free. Soon my soul would clamp down and vanish deep inside. Thank God. It was the thinking that was making me change. The free time and questions making me worry. This. I knew this. Elder bristled, his hands curling into fists.
"You think bleeding in my presence is appropriate? I've done all I can to stop you bleeding. Is that a slap in my fucking face, saying I'm not doing enough?"
He prowled forward, his chest almost touching mine. I sighed heavily as I gave into his power. Down and down I swirled, blank safety beckoning. I hated that I'd accepted his rage so much more easily than I ever could his kindness, that I went searching for his animosity because I would never trust his calmness. Not looking up, I kept my eyes respectfully on his shoes. With my unbroken hand, I pushed off the black shoulder strap, followed by the other, and let the dress slither over my body until I stood naked before him. The room howled with masculine rage as Elder whipped upright and took a staggering step back.
"What the fuck are you doing?"
"What I've been taught." My mind had retreated to where it couldn't be touched. Hidden and protected, finally at peace after chasing its own tail with endless questions. My body was in charge now, and my body was a creature of habit. Falling to my stiff and grisly knees, I bowed at his feet. He'd stolen me. He might as well start using me the way he intended. It was better for both of us to know our places, so I could return to the shell I'd made my home. I thought I was strong enough to return to the real world. I thought I wasn't broken enough that if I ever found freedom, I could walk from the shadows and laugh and speak and love like any normal person. But I knew the truth now. Elder's strange care had made me come to terms with something I never believed was possible. I was broken. All my inner speeches of being so strong and merely biding my time, they were fiction. I'm a liar. My head bowed harder, my hair spilling over my shoulder. And still Elder didn't move. The door opened behind me, footsteps shuffling with the aromatic scent of the second course. Everything exploded.
"Get the fuck out!"
Elder bellowed. A plate smashed to the floor, followed by the thud of a rolling baked potato. Muttered apologies fell, then the door clanged shut and silence once again reigned. Elder took a step closer to me, his black boot nudging my naked knee. I didn't shrivel or back away. My mind had flown free, leaving whatever remained at his mercy. I didn't care. His joints didn't make a sound as he slid to his haunches and grabbed my chin.
"Under no circumstances are you to do that again. Do you hear me?"
I looked blankly past him. He shook me.
"Pay attention. Don't disappear on me. Don't treat me like that bastard. Don't make me become something I've fought so fucking long to avoid. I won't slip. Not for you. Not for anyone."
His fingers dug into my cheeks.
"As much as you expect me to, and as gratifying as it would be, I said I won't hurt you, and I meant it."
Words were cheap. I knew how lies worked. With a heavy growl, Elder stood. My stomach muscles clenched, waiting for his kick, but nothing came. Instead, he scooped me into his arms and picked me up, just like the day he'd carried me bleeding and mostly dead from the White Mansion. Kicking open the dining room door, he stalked through the boat, taking the stairs rather than waiting for the lift, and carrying me gruffly back to my room. Every step was a full stop to the confusing conversation we'd shared. Every breath was a bracket around the truths we'd revealed, and then smothered just as fast with falsehoods. I didn't know what was real anymore. What threat was truth and what truth was a lie? The moment we were behind closed doors, Elder shoved me on the bed and paced away, jerking both hands over his face.
God damn it, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I lay there naked and waiting, knowing enough not to move. He continued pacing, muttering to himself. Finally, he prowled back. His large hands landed on my hips, dragging my body to the edge of the bed, where he wedged his jean-clad legs between mine.
This is what you want? To be fucked against your will? To be used against your permission?
His fingers left bruises. It was nothing new.
Tell me why. Why do you want pain when I want to give you safety? When I'm doing my damn fucking hardest to be a better man, to protect you from myself, just like I protected you from him.
I barely heard the question in my protective bubble. I didn't blink or swallow, merely stared back unaffected.
You know what I think, Pimlico?
He used my name as if it was a witch's curse.
I think you're lost. For the first time, you have permission to rest and relax with no threat of agony on the horizon. You finally remember how life should be, and it fucking terrifies you how much you want it.
He squeezed me harder.
And when your mind started to accept that yes, you deserve this, and yes, this is how it could be from now on, you became fucking petrified.
He bowed over me, wedging his hot, hard muscle on top of my breakable body. He didn't hide the erection in his jeans, pressing it against me unashamedly.
You're weak. For all the strength I saw in you, all the power and unbreakable courage, you let questions strip that away. You let the unknown steal who you truly are, and you've slipped back into the only role you know. I fucking pity you.
His lips trailed over my cheekbone, his tongue tracing the shell of my ear.
I could fuck you right now. I could kiss you, hit you, string you up, and do all manner of disgusting things to you, and you wouldn't fight me. Hell, you expect me to do it, and that's what's so bloody sick about this. I gave you my word that I wouldn't touch you, and you didn't listen.
His hips rocked, pressing into me. It didn't feel good or bad. It was just pressure. Pressure I'd long since grown used to while I curled into a non-reachable ball inside myself.
Not only did you not listen, but you didn't believe, and I have a good mind to do exactly what you expect. I want to fuck you.
His hips thrust again.
I want to hurt you.
His teeth nipped at my ear.
Because then you might stop looking for the worst.
His heat made my skin prickle with sweat. I couldn't breathe with his weight, but I wouldn't shift or beg. If he wanted to smother me, then that was one of the easier ways to welcome death. A kind way to go compared to so many others. But then he was gone, folding off me, rearranging the steelness in his trousers.
But that would be too easy. You think you can control me? Get me to do something I would never do? Become someone I've fought all my life never to be again? Well, fuck you. Fuck you and whatever conditioning that's ruined you.
Striding to the door, he jerked a hand down his t-shirt as if preparing himself to enter a room full of well-dressed diplomats.
Until you have the balls to accept that I won't lay a finger on you, until you've addressed what that cunt did to you, you won't see me again. I don't have time for broken things, especially slaves who I believed were so much stronger than what they turned out to be.
He turned and strode out the door without another look. Silence fell like a guillotine as he slammed the wood into place. For a second, I didn't breathe. I remained locked inside and safe, able to ignore the smarting agony of what had just happened, of the degradation of what I'd become, the shame of what I was, and the guilt that I wasn't as good as I thought. And then the rage came again, hurling me from my bubble, dragging me back into liveliness. For so long I tempered my anger so it curled around me, but never exploded. There was nowhere for it to explode, no sobs I could shed, no screams I could utter. But here, as I lay naked and vulnerable, with far too many wounds and far too little strength to rebuild myself, I let loose. I lost it. It wasn't sweet, obedient Tamsin who shot to her feet and snarled at the finery. It wasn't timid, broken Pimlico whose claws latched onto the decorative cream silk from the ceiling and yanked. It wasn't me, whoever that was, as I hurled off the bed and threw cushions and pushed over chairs and smashed sea life figurines. I let 2 years' worth of tears spew forth. I hiccuped and howled and gagged as my tongue pounded in agony. I lost myself, and I no longer cared if I ever found my way back.
Chapter 10, Elder. What the fuck am I doing? The question had run a track inside my mind for the past 2 days. I should just pull up to shore, drop her off with a lump of cash, some clothes, which she would probably refuse to wear, and say good fucking riddance. I didn't have time for this. I didn't have the luxury of going down a path that had taken me so long to run away from. I had my own issues to deal with, let alone shoulder hers. Did you expect her to snap out of it the moment she was yours? If I was honest, yes. That was exactly what I bloody expected. I envisioned myself as the savior, and her smiling in gratitude and finally opening that bruised little mouth to say,
"Thank you, Elder, for saving my life. What would you like to know about me? I'm an open book for you. Read my pages. Pry away."
I dragged my hands through my hair, digging my elbows into the desk. Nothing was going according to plan, and seeing her struggle only made me realize how much I fucking struggled. How much I shut down and pretended I had everything I wanted, that my business kept me whole, that I wanted for nothing more than wealth, my boat, and the sea. It was all a bloody lie. I smothered myself with rules and trickery to prevent the addiction inside me from taking claim. She'd made me snap and admit some of my darkest truths at dinner. That wasn't how it was supposed to go. I was supposed to crack her, not the other way around. Fucking woman. Even in her despair, she had the bravery to show me just how much I confused her. Lying in bed after throwing her back in her room that night, sleep had refused to come. I recalled every word she'd written to no one, doing my best to put myself in her shoes and figure out how I would have coped. The thought of someone physically and mentally abusing me was too abhorrent. I couldn't fully comprehend what it would be like to live with such a monster. I'd done my fair share of hardship, but it had been my own doing, not from some corrupt bastard who thought he could own another. Old memories sprung up, threatening to drag me under. Digging my fingers into my skull, I held on. Don't fucking... Too late. I couldn't stop the memory from stealing me, hurtling me back to a time I couldn't run from. 18 years ago, where it all ended and begun. My mother cried. She'd been crying every night for 4 months. And because her tears were my fault, my heart drowned with every salty droplet. The shame wasn't new. Guilt wasn't either. But I hadn't meant to do what I did. If I could rewind time and fix the catastrophe I caused, I would. But I accepted my punishment, her disappointment in me, our removal from our home. I bowed beneath the penance because she needed me to suffer. She needed to know I felt the weight of my actions, and accepted that I'd been the reason for everything. And I did. Crap, how I did.
Oka-san, please.
Glancing around the dirty alley we'd stumbled upon 3 nights ago, I ensured we were alone before dropping to my haunches beside her.
I'll make it right, I promise.
She tore her body away as I placed my palm on her shoulder. Her rebuttal of my affection cut me, but not as much as it had at the beginning. Our first night on the streets had been the worst in my entire 13 years. I missed my room, my cello, my comfortable, if not rich, life. But it was all gone now. My brother was gone, my father, our house. The only thing I'd been able to save besides myself was my mother, who cursed the very ground I walked upon.
How can you make it right? We have nothing. No one will take us in. We're alone.
Her sobs crushed me deeper into the dirty concrete where I'd laid a few cabbage-stained cardboard boxes from the dumpster behind us.
I'll get a job. Someone will hire me. We'll have a home again.
I swiped a piece of torn newspaper as it blew down the wind tunnel that was our accommodation for the night. New York was not a kind innkeeper to those who found sanctuary on her streets, especially in fall. The leaves had switched from green to rust, and it was only a matter of time before the frigid mornings became frost and snow. I have to fix this before then. My mother cried harder into the crook of her elbow. Her black hair glistened in the faint lights of the cheery apartments above us. Craning my neck, I looked up the sides of the buildings we sat between, watching shadows of people cooking dinner and laughing with loved ones. My stomach growled, tearing through the silence with empty ferocity. We hadn't found decent food since yesterday morning. What I'd done, it was unforgivable. Overwhelming hatred for myself swirled with humiliation, thicker and thicker as my mother sobbed beside me. Her pretty blouse and jeans were now grubby and tattered. Her closet full of patterned kimonos and my father's freshly ironed suits turned to ash and rubble. My fingers flew over the newspaper I'd snatched from the wind. Folding it into a square, I tore off the ragged ends and set about transforming the crumpled inked page into something better. As my mother cried herself into a catatonic coma, like she did every night, I sat silently, turning rubbish into origami. My fingers shook as I smoothed the petals of a blooming rose before slipping it gently into my mother's bald hands. Wrapping her in a hug, I vowed,
I will fix this. I don't care that I'm too young to get a job. I'll find money and a way to fix what I've done.
My mother sucked in a shaky breath, not believing me, but accepting my origami rose as a peace token. Her head rested on my shoulder as her tears slowly dried. She didn't speak, but she didn't need to. Her doubt, disappointment, and despondency spoke loudly. She didn't believe me. I didn't believe me. What could I do? A stupid boy trained in cello and origami? As the moon crept over the sky and the temperature plummeted until our breaths became ghosts in the night and cardboard boxes became useless blankets, I stared at the talented hands that had given me nothing but grief. I'd been proud of my hands, of the skill they wielded. Now I wanted nothing more than to cut them off. But, wait. Holding two palms and 10 digits in the New York City gloom, a plan began to form. I could strum a chord before I could run. I could curl the finest crease of paper before I could write. If I had such agility in my fingers, perhaps they could learn another trade? A better trade? One that would ensure our survival and drag us back to where we belonged. I'd brought badness into our life. It was time to become bad, to free ourselves from it. I wouldn't be a useless brat who only thought of himself. No, I'd be a pickpocket, a thief, and I'd steal every damn thing from every damn person to ensure my family forgave me. I shuddered as the memory finally let me go. Cold sweat drenched my spine. When my life had changed, giving me food instead of starvation, and tailored clothes instead of tatty dumpster rags, I thought I'd be forgiven. That I'd erase the shame I'd brought on our name and be welcomed back. I wasn't. I wasn't just shunned. I was given the worst kind of punishment. I was called a ghost. doomed to be familyless and disowned for the rest of my days. I'd become lost, just like Pimlico. And I turned to the only thing that had saved me, accepted me, crime. Petty theft turned to illegal enterprises, and no matter how I tried to untangle myself, I only sank deeper into the sticky webs, crawling further into the underworld. Each dark step I took ensured I was one step closer to my ultimate goal. And where I was going, there was no room for a mute prisoner, no matter how much she toyed with my emotions. Stop thinking about her. The command echoed in my skull, heard but utterly ignored. Closing my laptop, I stood and massaged my nape. I needed a good session with Celix in the ship's ring, or a long swim in the ocean. Then, whatever thoughts about Pimlico would vanish, and I could refocus on who I was and what the fuck I was trying to do with my life. Striding from my office, I undid my shirt as I went. It wasn't far to the bridge, and at this time of the evening, Julfer, the captain, would have signed off, and Martin would be in charge. He was a safe navigator and obedient. I wasn't in the mood for a martial art fight with Celix, but fuck me, I needed a swim. Heading over to the expanse of deck, I peered at the stairs above in velvet black. Only the flaming galaxy lit up this place. No city lights, no houses, no cars. Just the Phantom and her pretty windows dancing on the calm tide. Yanking the door open, I strolled in and immediately spotted the man I needed. Martin, stop all engines. Hold position. Martin was older than Julfer, and his snow-white hair was almost as bright as the stars. Even at 60, his face was barely lined, somehow avoiding the crags and furrows that a life spent in salt and sun tended to cause.
How long for this time, sir?
Martin asked, already pressing buttons and radioing down to the engine room to reverse direction and hold. 2 hours. I don't want to rush.
No problem. Take all the time you need.
He smiled, knowing exactly what I was about to do. All the crew knew, because their boss liked to go swimming at odd times and strange places. Middle of the Pacific? Sure, why the fuck not? An hour before sunrise, when the world still slept? Shit, yes. I'd swum with humpbacks, dolphins, even a whale shark or two. I wasn't afraid. I'd hover on my back, cradled by seawater, and watch the sun blink awake. That was the beauty of sailing. I'll visit again once I'm done. I turned to leave.
No need, sir. I'll send up a lackey to make sure you're safely on board. It's too deep, so we won't set anchor, but we'll hold position with the engines.
I understood what he was telling me. I won't go to the back. I'll use the side ladders and avoid any chance of a riptide caused by the propellers. Martin chuckled.
I know you know that, sir, but it's force of habit to warn, I'm afraid.
I threw him a tight smile. Nice to know you take your job and my life seriously. I headed back outside and didn't bother going back to my quarters to change. My black boxer briefs would do. After all, in the pitch black yonder, who was there to see me? Walking to the side of the vessel with its 13 floors to the unforgiving blue glass below, I unbuckled my belt, kicked off my shoes, and tore off my shirt. The moment I was free from human costume, I opened the railing and dove off the side.
Chapter 11. Pimlico. Yesterday was brutal. Once I let go, once I allowed my soul to take over and weep for everything I'd been through, I couldn't stop. All night I sobbed. All day I wept. And by the time the sun rose and then set again, my face ached. My tongue throbbed and my head howled with dehydration. Staff members had tried to get me to eat, ignoring my naked form sitting on the floor amongst a destroyed suite to ply me with cake and feel-good food. I didn't want a single crumb. Feathers from the pillows fluttered around the space, thanks to the sea breeze. Curtains hung haphazardly on their rails, Side tables rattled on their sides as the boat rode gentle waves. I hadn't been able to flip over most of the larger furniture, bolted in place for high seas or hungry storms, but the soft furnishings hadn't escaped my wrath. I knew I was only harming myself by exuding so much energy in tears and refusing to eat or drink, but I needed to hurt myself. For the first time, I was the one in charge of the pain and the discomfort suffocating me. I took ownership of that. I controlled that. It was liberating to be the brute for a change, even if it was me, myself and I who I hurt. Exactly 48 hours after Elder had left me, the only other male I was allowed contact with entered my annihilated room. His kind eyes widened, taking in the destruction before pressing his lips together and crossing the space to the bed where I huddled beneath a salvaged sheet.
Hello?
I squeezed my eyes, knowing exactly why he was here and ready, but not quite ready, to accept his help.
I hear you've had a rough couple of days.
Standing close, he rubbed the mattress beside me.
May I?
I didn't open my eyes or give him permission, but he sat anyway, carefully keeping his body from touching mine.
Do you want to talk about that?
Such a simple question, but loaded with far too much. My gaze flew wide, even as my tongue stung from where I'd bitten it by accident 2 nights ago. Even if I did want to talk to someone, to remember what it was like to hold a conversation and purge this filth inside me, I couldn't. Not yet. Not until my tongue was knitted back together. Dr. Michaels nodded in understanding. Looking at the tumbled bedside table and the scattered items on the floor, he pointed at the notepad and pen strewn haphazardly.
I meant, do you want to write it down? We can discuss it that way.
I merely stared. He cleared his throat after an uncomfortable minute.
Okay, we'll leave therapy for another day. How about that?
Therapy? I wrinkled my nose. Was that what he thought I needed? Was I mentally ill? A basket case who needed rehab from life? Wouldn't my mother love that? She'd jump at the chance to be my psychologist. The more screwed up her patients, the better. He held up his hands.
Wrong word. Sorry. Professional habit. You don't need therapy in the normal sense, but I do think you need to talk to someone. You've been alone for so long, or at least I think you were alone.
His face whitened.
Were there others? Did Mr. Prest save more than just you?
His question fell on appreciative ears that he was willing to chit-chat, but I had no interest in replying. I hadn't even had the energy to write to no one during my crying purge. The thought of others living what I had hollowed me with grief. I rolled over, tucking the sheet tighter against me. What happened to the girls I was sold with at the quarterly market of beauties? Were they still alive or mostly dead by now?
Okay, I know when a social call isn't wanted.
Michaels rubbed his thighs.
However, before I go, I must ask you to set up. I need to inspect your tongue and discuss a few other medical issues.
I looked over my shoulder. Now I'd stopped crying, all I wanted to do was sleep. Sleep for decades and wake up a better person, a saner person, and someone who had no aversion to speak so she could blurt out her story and move on.
Please?
The doctor motioned for me to sit, even grabbed a pillow from the floor, only half unstuffed, and fluffed it against the ruined bedhead.
If you don't mind, we'll get it done as quickly as possible.
Not wanting to disappoint him, I slid upright and settled against the pillow. The sheet fell around my waist. I didn't think anything of it. Michael's gaze flickered to my naked chest for the barest of seconds. He cleared his throat, then resolutely locked eyes with me. Any sign of a normal hot-blooded man vanished under the authoritative presence of a doctor who had seen patients in all stages of undress.
May I?
He scooted closer, hoisting a bag I hadn't noticed onto the bed beside him. I didn't nod, but he must have seen approval in my eyes because he reached forward, running his hands over the glands in my neck and gently prying my mouth open. I allowed it, holding my breath as he inspected my stitched tongue. I watched his face carefully, wanting to catch any worry or concern he might have had on the status of my healing. His face tensed. I stiffened in response.
You have a cut on the left. Did you bite yourself while eating?
If there was a time when I should start answering questions, it should be now. But my body language remained silent. He let me go, grabbed a pair of rubber gloves and put them on. Once hygienic, he gently opened my jaw again and touched my tongue, running expert fingers over the hack job Ulrich had done, and hopefully the stitch job that would ensure it would be as if it never happened.
The swelling has gone down, but not as fast as I hope.
Michaels drew back, his face softening.
Not coping is understandable after everything you've been through, and it's best to get it out. I'm glad you gave yourself time to do that. If you won't help sleeping, I can prescribe you something, and if you have intolerable pain, I can help with that too. However, what I can't help with, and that's entirely on you, is how fast you wish to recover by eating well and resting often.
A fatherly scowl illustrated his face.
You need to eat if you're going to regain your strength.
His eyes tracked to my belly, ignoring my naked breasts. Black and purple painted my skin, bruises disappearing under the bandage still wrapped around my ribs.
You're underweight, undernourished. To put it frankly, you're dying.
I froze solid. To hanker after death was one thing. To be told it was creeping over me without permission was entirely another.
I didn't mean it like that.
He tried to soothe.
I meant you're in a bad way and need to help yourself. I can only do so much. It's up to you to decide if you want to stick around. And if that decision is yes, then you need to start taking better care of yourself.
I swallowed, tasting the faint rubber of his gloves. But what if I don't know what I want? What if I'm still afraid that if I accept life, Elder will steal it from me in some other way? Michaels didn't wait for me to answer him. He took my broken hand, inspecting the plastic splint and bandage, making sure it was still secure.
Now you're coherent and not in a hospital bed straight out of surgery. I'm going to be honest with you. Do you think you can handle that?
A huge exhale exploded from me. Truth. Honesty. Yes, I want that. I need that. It was frank truth I was missing. Wrapped up and given my own space with no rules or expectations wasn't good for me.
That's what you want, no matter if it's scary? You want the truth?
Do I do it? Yes. That question was worthy of breaking my silent oath. I nodded just briefly. Michaels beamed.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
His face fell a second later.
Not that I should be happy to tell you bad news, of course.
Bad news? What bad news? I shuffled forward, clutching the sheet in my lap. He sighed.
I'm going to be frank and not sugarcoat it, okay?
What the hell? I'd nodded once, another wouldn't hurt. I tilted my chin down then up.
All right, then.
He rubbed the back of his neck.
Your body has been through a lot. I don't need to tell you that, even with you eating and resting like you should be.
He gave me a commanding glare.
You'd still have months of recovery before you're on the mend.
He pointed at my mouth.
Realistically, your tongue is the least of your worries. That will heal as long as you keep it clean and don't bite it again. Your hand will heal, now it's bound, and your ribs will be fine as long as you don't ransack your room every night.
His head turned to survey the damage, but didn't make a comment on the mess.
What won't heal quickly are the injuries you've never had tended. Older broken bones that mended incorrectly. Your feet, your fingers, your leg. The bumps and abnormalities will only become more troublesome as you get older.
I swallowed again, feeling smaller and smaller, more and more fragile.
Some of your teeth are loose from being struck. Your blood work shows a few vitamin deficiencies. You need your eyesight tested, along with many other examinations, to ensure you'll be okay.
He patted my knee almost subconsciously over the sheet.
The body is a miraculous thing, and if you give it time and patience and the tools in order to knit itself back together, it will,
even with the other things I've mentioned, if you agree to let a dentist look at your teeth and an optometrist to ensure your eyes are good, even a neurologist to check your nerves and brain function, then any future complications can be managed.
Silence fell. Somehow I knew that wasn't the end of the lecture. Slowly, because I knew it made him uncomfortable, I raised the sheet, covering my breasts and tucking it under my arms. He gave me a half smile.
You don't have to do that. I've seen enough human forms not to be embarrassed. Although you've just proven your biggest injury to overcome.
I waited for the awful verdict. A verdict I'd already realized after turning into mayhem and demolishing the lovely sweet Elder had given me.
Your mind.
Michaels murmured.
Your mind is going to be messed up for a while.
Tears clawed the back of my eyes as someone finally acknowledged what I feared. It shouldn't make me so relieved to have confirmation that I was going mad. Having him understand. God, it was as if I had permission to give in to the psychotic breaking inside. That I could somehow swim to the other side and still be whole when I got there. Michaels held out his hand, palm up, as an offering of support. The urge to take it, to have someone squeeze me in comfort rather than in pain, was overwhelming. But I didn't reach out. I hugged my sheet and myself, drawing comfort from my body the way I'd done for so long. He nodded, linking his unwanted hand with his other.
I understand why you trashed your room. I understand why you haven't eaten. I'm not saying I've ever been in your situation, but I've done papers on how the mind works and want to tell you whatever you're feeling, the explosive anger, the deplorable rage, the unexpected grief, and even hopelessness, and looking for a way out. Let me tell you, it is normal. You're allowed to be topsy-turvy. You've been through hell, and your brain is only now coming out of protection mode and starting to sort through the past. Try to make sense of your present and figure out if it should be afraid of your future.
Yes, exactly. The tears I fought won. They spilled over my cheeks, stinging a little from old salt tracks from crying all night. To be told I wasn't going insane, that I was allowed to feel this way. It helped. So much. Even though I'd known everything he'd said. I'd studied such conditions. I was a textbook case for people suffering an emotional breakdown. But he delivered the news in a way I could accept, rather than run from. Michaels reached into his pocket and handed me a clean tissue.
Let it out. Don't hold it in. I'm glad you gave the decorating team something to do. If it made you feel better, do it again. I'm relieved you cried and let yourself be sad. You should be sad. You should be in mourning. A part of you was stolen, and you might never get that back. But what you will get in return is someone so much stronger than the rest of us. Someone who has lived damnation and survived.
He grinned, almost vicious with conviction.
You, my girl, are a warrior. And even warriors are allowed to be afraid.
My neck bowed, tears splashing onto the sheet despite blotting them with his tissue.
What you aren't, though, is a girl who can afford not to eat, okay? You need to give your body time to heal while your mind does too. Will you promise me you'll try?
When I didn't look up, he nudged my knee.
Nod for yes. I'm not leaving until you do.
It hurt this time. The third time. But I obeyed and nodded.
Good.
Standing, he patted my head. It could have been condescending, but in an odd way, the weight of his hand on my scalp was nice. Clutching his bag, Michaels added,
There is one more thing.
My jaw came up, my eyes making him fuzzy with tears.
I know you're afraid of him, that you expect him to be like the others who stole you.
He lowered his voice.
But don't judge a man just because he has a past he can't outrun. Don't expect the worst, because by expecting the worst, you're inviting it to come true.
He took a breath, pondering how to phrase his parting wisdom.
You don't need to know what the future holds. No one does. After all, no one can truly know or predict what their next day will include. All you need to know is right now. Can you survive right now? Can you survive today? If the answer is yes, then keep going. Who cares what other people's agendas are? You can't control that. You shouldn't weaken yourself by worrying. Accept that you are strong enough to endure the present. The rest doesn't matter.
Chapter 12, Elder. The ocean was cool, the water wet and welcoming. For an hour, I powered through the gentle swell, circling the Phantom, giving the back end a wide berth. The low hum of the engines keeping her bulk in place added depth to the sea silence, infiltrating the waves' licks and laps against the hull. My arms burned and my lungs shredded, but I didn't let up my pace. I needed to feel the pain because it kept me centered, kept my thoughts on me rather than on her, rather than on the manic, debilitating urges I constantly lived with, urges I learned to control but had broken multiple times since I'd brought her aboard my home. Just this morning, I found myself repeating the same thing over and over because I became fixated on an idea. The previous night, I'd returned to the dining room after leaving Pim in her suite, ignoring my unwanted erection by cleaning up the mess of pea soup and baked potato. The staff had tried to help, but I'd turned them all away. The desire for cleanliness and order overrode my normal ability to let it go. And it's all her fucking fault. The reports of what she'd done to her room yesterday made me storm to her quarters. I'd wanted to punish her for bringing pandemonium into my world and force her to fix what she damaged. I was halfway there before I'd ordered myself to turn around. If I saw her again, before I got myself under control, it wouldn't end well. Plus, I'd meant what I said. I didn't want to see her again until she stopped watching me as if I was that fucking bastard. Waiting for me to strike her, expecting me to kick and fuck her. The fact she wasn't wondering if I would, but when, fucking gutted me. I was many things. I wouldn't deny I had impure urges when it came to her, but I would never hurt her as bad as that motherfucker did. My intentions were different. Slowing my stroke, I rolled onto my back and let the ocean cradle me. The engine hum echoed underwater, louder than in the sky. A shooting star blazed overhead, bright and unapologetic, burning to death in its moment of absolute freedom. Pim was a shooting star. She wasn't free, but she was beautiful in her quest to find peace. I'd hoped once I'd stolen her, the thoughts of suicide would fade from her gaze. But they remained. What the hell was I doing that was so bad? Why did she cry for 24 hours straight when the only things I'd done were give her medical attention and a bedroom to call her own? I clenched my hands in the salt, my heavy inhale breaking the water's skin as my body became extra buoyant. Something flickered to my right. Turning my head a little, careful not to roll too much, I looked up at the colossal beast of my floating home. Phantom poised on the sea like a swan, ready to take flight. Its portals and twinkling lights so homely and welcoming. I'd built a large boat, not because I needed to live in something monolithic, but because I'd hoped it wouldn't just be me living on it. I'd sent invitations. None had come back. The flicker came again. Kicking my legs, I turned from horizontal to vertical, treading the tide. In the distance above, Pimlico drifted between rigging lights, blocking them as she passed before their brightness illuminated the sky once again. Where the fuck is she going? I tracked her as she wandered along the deck. Moving toward the railing, she ran her fingers over the smooth mahogany, her face pensive as she peered into the darkness. She wouldn't see me down here, so I took the opportunity to study her, to assess the way she carried herself, the anger mixing with residual fear. Perhaps I was too hard on her, expected too much, too soon. Our fight at dinner had been destructive at worst and juvenile at best. I'd said things I wished I could take back. I was supposed to be the savior here, not the aggressor. Michaels had told me as such,
warned me that incidents like this might never heal. The wounds on her body might fade, but her mind, that might never be fully complete. My gaze danced down her figure. At least she'd worn another too big for her dress and not wandered around naked. It fluttered in the night breeze, a soft lavender style one of my assistants had picked out. I didn't want to admit it, but even from here, the color set off Pimlico's dark hair, making her seem otherworldly. Pushing off from the railing, she disappeared past my line of sight. Something tugged inside me, but I ignored it. I'd already let Pimlico affect me more than I should. I fucking refused to let her eat away at me, not when she expected me to be a monster. I was a monster, just one she'd never come across before.
Chapter 13. Pimlico. The cold almost made me turn back. I hadn't brought a cardigan, not that I'd probably wear one, and the chilliness reminded me too much of being constantly freezing in the White Mansion. However, something was infinite and majestically calming about the night sky. Instead of running, I commandeered a bollard where a massive rope, damp with sea and reeking of salt, coiled heavily, waiting to be used. Perching on the top, I tugged the hated dress and wrapped it around my knees. My ribs hurt to crunch up, but it was comforting sitting outside after 2 years locked in a house. For a while nothing moved. No stars, no birds, no life. It was just me in the vast blackness both above and below. I grew weary, lulled to relaxation by the sway of waves and whispers of night. The mania of the past few days finally calmed, and I was able to breathe without anger or confusion. Other emotions that had been hidden inside slowly crept into acknowledgement like woodland mice. Regret for the way I'd pushed Elder. Grief for the way I'd reacted, not because I'd wanted to, but because my mind was so riddled with rot, I didn't know any other way. I needed to apologize to him and myself. Michaels had given me enough confidence to reach out with tentative fingers and take the first grasp of whatever Elder was offering without peeking beneath the kindness and searching for cruelty. I need to live in the moment, the future I cannot control. I tipped my head back to the moon, allowing the silver light to recharge and forgive me. Forgive a woman who was still a girl, even if she thought she was ancient. Forgive a slave who had no notion of pleasure or happiness in a man's company. My education and submission was not welcome here, and it hurt to have to shred up those lessons and be open to learning new things, especially when I didn't know what things Elder would teach me. I sighed again, expelling another windstorm of gathering questions, doing my best to stay calm. A crack and a small thud wrenched my eyes wide, waking me from my unsuccessful meditation. I blinked as hands appeared on the railing, followed by arms, then dripping wet hair and dragon-tattooed torso. Just like the first time I'd seen his skin art, it stole the very breath from my lungs. The inked creature snarled and snapped, coming alive in every contour and muscle shadow. Elder didn't look up, climbing the last rungs of a ladder I hadn't noticed, and stepping onto the deck with endless authority and confidence. Raking his hands through his hair, he threw his head back and exhaled. His stomach rippled, his dragon hissing with smoke. For a second, I sat in the darkness, watching, wishing I could tear away his secrets and understand who this man was. He had a temper. He had secrets. But that doesn't make him evil. Does it? A breeze whistled down the deck, unlocking my dress from around my legs, sending it fluttering like a purple flag. Elder froze. His eyes narrowed on me.
I thought you'd gone in.
I stiffened. You saw me. My brain worked, trying to decide how I felt about being spied on, just like I'd been spying on him. Against my wishes, my eyes traveled south, taking in the way his black box of briefs glued to his body. The masculine bulge spiked my heart rate, despite me hating that part of a man. Elder had done his best to switch some of my aversions the night he'd kissed me. Even 2 evenings ago when he'd pressed his erection against me, I hadn't coiled in disgust. I hadn't wanted him. But the thought of sleeping with him was marginally acceptable, because at least he'd give me things in return. Seawater continued to rivulet down his legs, catching in dark hair before pooling over his toes. Everything about him was exquisitely formed and perfect. Even his feet were in proportion to his height and build.
"Have something to say to me?"
Elder smirked, not caring my eyes stalked over him.
"You can, you know. Say whatever you want. I won't get mad."
I scowled. Was he going to bring up a fight or let it go? I was prepared to follow his lead, but once again his wet body and chest tattoo drew my attention. The inked illusion hinted that the ocean had been allowed to swirl around his organs, thanks to his ribs being exposed beneath his dragon. Does that smoking thing have a name? Why a dragon? And wait, what is he doing swimming at this time of night? At least my questions were saner and related to less harmful topics. I didn't know if I'd evolved, or just been successful at focusing on easier-to-handle queries. When I didn't respond, Elder strolled to another bollard, holding yet more rigging, and scooped up a towel wedged down the side. He never took his eyes off me, somehow stroking me with his vision in a way that evoked yet more goosebumps. It seemed my skin reacted whenever he was around. I don't like it. I don't like feeling this way. What way? Hugging my knees closer, I tried to answer that. Like a girl with a boy and not a slave with a master. No, that wasn't quite right. Elder would never be a boy, and he was far too dangerous to drop my guard and allow whatever remnants of the kiss we shared to have an effect. He was just different, and different people, scenarios, and locations were all taking a toll on me.
Did the darkness give you the answers you were looking for?
Rubbing his face with a towel, he dragged it down his torso, before tying it around his waist.
Or maybe you've decided to give me the benefit of the doubt and behave?
My teeth ground together. Behave? He chuckled, a lot more carefree than I'd seen him. A rogue droplet trailed over his peck. His dragon licked it up.
I'm not going to apologize for the other night, and I don't expect one from you. I pushed too hard. I'll try to be more understanding.
I sat up in shock. I'd expected a warning, not a vague admittance of equal guilt. An uneasy silence fell, which for me was almost as foreign as the way my belly warmed